beautiful wife who I've been married to for 7 years. We have two beautiful boys and also one on the way, due here in April. I just want to say I'm thankful for this opportunity to get up here and practice my passion and my desire of preaching. And I really want to say I enjoy the spirit of this church, especially this young woman right here. In the front row, she was singing with so much zeal and so much passion, and that's how we all should be as children, giving our all to God, because he is so wonderful and good to us. One of the songs we sang was, "Does God Care?" And the question is, or the answer is, he does care. But does he care just for us, his children, or does he care for everyone, including the outcast, the people who are looked down upon in society, the ones who are treated with less grace and less mercy than the rest. Now, we know this, we shouldn't treat the outcast differently, but just like Christ, we need to show everyone love. He receives, like the song said, all sinners. All sinners. The purpose of this lesson and the purpose of my sermon today is to get us in the mindset of Christ when it comes to those who are outcast, those who are lost. And in order to get in that mindset, we must first understand how God views those who are lost. In Luke chapter 4, verses 18, we see God's pity and his compassion for all people. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach news to the poor." That's the outcast. "He has sent me to proclaim deliverance to the sinners, to the prisoners, and recovery of sight to the blind, to release those who have been oppressed." This was Jesus' mission. And Jesus saw no man as too far gone. There was no man or woman that was outside of his reach. There was no person that he could not save. In his eyes, there's no such thing as a hopeless soul. They have hope because they have a soul. If there's soul, there's life. And so he understood that even the lost needed to hear the gospel. That's why all throughout Luke and Matthew, we find Jesus rubbing elbows with the people he was attempting to save. In Mark chapter 2, verses 17, it says that Jesus is a physician. And just like any good physician, we have to be hands-on. If someone has a broken arm, we can't fix that broken arm from across the street. But instead, it requires us to be close so that we can properly diagnose and treat the man, treat the woman who was in need. Jesus, in the book of Luke, met a man with leprosy, and he wasn't blind to his needs. He understood that this man's disease could possibly infect him, but that did not stop him from getting close and relating to this man and healing this man. He was mindful of their needs, just like we should be. We should be mindful of those who are lost. Instead of keeping ourselves separated, we should want to draw near and receive them with open arms, without discrimination, without putting them down. Jesus is relatable to us in many ways. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15, it says that he sympathizes in our weakness because he was tempted in every way. We see this in Luke when Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. So in Christ's mind, there is no distinct difference of persons. We are all in need of his mercy and grace. The ground at the cross is level. The same mercy that we needed is the same mercy and grace that we should extend to those who are lost, to those who we consider as outcasts. So because of his new message and because of his new miracles and how he treated people, he became very popular. And he began to draw large crowds that will follow him. In Luke chapter 15, I'll begin our reading, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, 'This man receives sinners and he eats with them.'" Now, sinners, as we know, are people who were careless about religious law, and they lived their life any type of way with no concern. Now, tax collectors in that day were viewed as less of a people. They were Jews who sold themselves to the Roman Empire, and they collected taxes from the countrymen. In other words, they would overly charge or overly tax their own Jewish brethren in order to pay off the people who were oppressing them and keeping them enslaved. So you could imagine how shocked the Pharisees were to see Jesus sitting and receiving these people. But we know that these people are the ones that need saving, the outcast. And so Jesus did not overlook this need. The Pharisees were self-righteous religious leaders who viewed themselves as holy and better than everyone else. They were great at keeping the biblical law, but they had no real relationship with God. And so you would always find them shining their lights on the flaws of others, but only shining the lights on themselves when they were doing right. The mouth of the Pharisee would say things that, like, "I'm thankful that I'm not like the rest of these men," especially like those people who act in this way and do such things. Pharisees don't exist today, but the Spirit lives on, even in the body of Christ. It exists in some of the hearts of our brothers and sisters in the body today. They didn't have the heart for the lost. They didn't have the heart for the outcast. And so when they seen Jesus eating with them, it confused them. It's no different if Jesus was here today in 2019. He would be eating with those we as society may look down upon, the drug dealers, the liars, the thieves. But we shouldn't be surprised. He told us our mission was to save those who are lost, or his mission. In Luke chapter 19, "For the Son of Man did not come to seek and save which who are lost." I love Jesus' response to the Pharisees as we read on in verse chapter 3. He didn't rebuke them. He didn't put them down. But instead, through a parable, he wanted to display God's attitude for the lost and uncover the wrong attitude of these righteous men. In verse 3, he says, "So he told them this parable, saying, 'What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it down on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep which I have lost." Jesus told the story of a shepherd and his sheep because he understood that in that time, it would very well be understood by the people. This was a story that expressed God's relationship to his people. In this text, Jesus shows us that some are lost because of foolishness. And there's a reason why he used sheep in his example. Because sheep are foolish animals. And oftentimes you would find them in the pasture grazing with their heads down, not being mindful of the circumstances, and they continue to walk on, grazing, eating grass, and eventually they may walk outside or walk through a hole in a fence, not paying attention, continuing to eat, and get to a point where they look up and realize that they're lost. But the shepherd doesn't criticize the sheep, but instead he's watchful. He's mindful over them. A good shepherd is not a numbers guy that looks at a chart and pays attention to percentages. He doesn't say, well, I have 99 sheep. It doesn't hurt me if I lost that one. No, he's watchful and he knows when the sheep is lost. Number two, he'll seek the 99 and search for the one. He's persistent. He doesn't give up until he finds the lost. He's tender and he carries the sheep. Last but not least, he's joyful upon finding it. This story of the sheep is a picture of mankind today. We're lost. And sometimes we're lost because of our own mindlessness. We get so caught up in the grazing of life. We're busy with work, busy with school, we're busy with family. We're so busy that we don't realize we've walked outside of the presence of God. And then one day we look up to realize we're far gone. We don't know how to get back in, but I'm thankful, just like these sinners, we have a good shepherd that is watchful over us, who seeks us, who will leave the 99 in order to save the one, because each and every one of us are precious in his sight, and that includes those who are the outcast, those who are lost. I don't know what the group that was following him was thinking. Maybe they were thinking of Psalms or Isaiah chapter 40, verses 11, which says, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms. Holding them close to his heart, he will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. Or maybe they were thinking of Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. These people understood that that goodness and the mercy that followed them was the good shepherd. He doesn't forsake us. He doesn't leave us when we turn astray, but he searches for us and he rejoices in finding us. So we too should be the same when it comes to those who are lost. As we continue on reading in Luke 15, verses 8, we see a young woman who has lost something important to her. It reads, what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she finds it, she calls together her friends, her neighbors, and says, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I have lost. In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels over God over one sinner who repents. The point of this story was to show the Pharisees that some people are lost because of carelessness, and it is our job to seek them with diligence. I'll say that again. The point was to see that some are lost because of diligence, and it's our job to seek them. Oh, I'm sorry. Some are lost because of carelessness, and our job is to seek them with diligence. I understand this young woman's frustration in the mind of her time. The coin that she lost was invaluable to her. It was worth 17 cents, but it was a day's work of wage. And to the common worker, to lose a day's worth of wage meant everything. So for her, she felt like she needed to search for that which was lost and realize she's the one that lost the coin. There are many that we know of who have been led astray and lost because of the bad advice, the horrible examples, people who have been taught correctly by brothers and sisters in the body. It happens. But guess what? If they're lost, we should have the same mind of Christ and search for them diligently. I remember last week I lost my phone and I literally turned the entire house upside down in order to find it. I didn't say, oh, well, you know, I can get another phone. But I searched until it came into my possession. Why? Because even though my phone was lost, it never lost its value. It's the same thing with people. People are lost. We may see them as hopeless, but God sees them as valuable. And if we never see the outcast as valuable, then we will never search them with all diligence. But that's our job as Christians, is to recognize their lostness and also still see their value. Because if Christ is the head and he wants all to be saved, should we have the same mindset as well? Jesus was always at the house of someone else. His life was the greatest example of evangelism. He broke social norms in order to reach the lost, because he understood that the heavens could never rejoice if someone is continuing to be lost. So it was his job to get up and to seek. And if Christ was the head, or if he is the head, what does that make us? We are the hands and the feet of the body. We are to do like this young woman and to sweep the house or do the dirty work, be active in our rough communities, evangelize to those who are far off, sit with the poor, and literally turn the world upside down in order to seek that which was lost, because they are valuable, or they should be valuable to us all. The coin and the sheep did not choose to get lost, but the prodigal son did. And what we need to understand is that some choose to purposely get lost. In verse 15, or chapter 15 of Luke, verses 11, it says, "And he said, a man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me.' So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, this young son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered everything he had with loose living. Now, when he had spent everything, a severe famine came upon the country, and he was impoverished. So instead of going back to his father, it says in verse 15 that he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating." He was literally ready to eat the food of the pigs. "And no one was giving him anything. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. And I will get up, go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.'" And this is the teaching point right here. It says, he got up in verse 20. He came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. He didn't judge him. He didn't rebuke him. But instead, it says he felt compassion for him. He ran and embraced him and kissed him. And he said to the son, "Father," or the son said to the father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, I am no worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet and bring the fattened calf, kill it and let us eat and then celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and was found, and they began to celebrate. What I appreciate about the father in this text is the fact that he saw his son from a distance. He didn't chase after him. I know he was concerned about his son. He was worried, but he had to let his son go. And he allowed his son eventually to come to his right mind, but he did not give up on his son, but instead he stood at the hill, at the road, and he watched for his son each and every day. And I love how when he saw his son, he didn't even allow his son to come to him, but instead he ran and embraced him, showed him love, received him like Christ would with open arms. The son didn't have to work himself back into his father's graces, but instead God, or the father in the situation, restored his son to the right position, the rightful position in his house. He does the same for those who are lost. Yes, he's frustrated and hurt by it, but he seeks us. He watches us from heaven's doors, and he patiently waits on us to come back home. We, like Christ, should have that same mindset, that same mentality when it comes to those who are lost. But a lot of us have the mindset of the son in verse 25, who was very frustrated that the father was celebrating his younger brother's return. In verse 25, it says, now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what things this could be. They said, your brother has come back home, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he received him back safe and sound. The son, being frustrated and angry, he says to him, for many years I've served you. I've never neglected you. You have never given me a young goat so that I may celebrate with friends. But when the son of yours who devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed for him a fattened calf. And he said to him, son, you have always been with me, and all that I have is yours. In 32 it says, but we had to celebrate and rejoice because your brother who was dead is alive, and the one who was lost has now been found. The mind of the son was no different from the Pharisees. It was self-righteous. He felt like he deserved everything that his father had because of what he has done. We have to understand that there is nothing that we can do to be loved by God completely. Everything that he gives us, everything that we have, is from the source of his grace and his mercy. And that same grace and mercy that should be overflowing in our spirits and in our mind should be poured out to those who are lost and now have been found. This young man did not have the mind of his father. He didn't celebrate when his father celebrated. But my question to you is, if our Father in the heavens rejoice over those who we look down upon, should we not do the same? Sadly, the father and the son's heart were in two different places, and we don't know if this young man's heart ever changed. I hope he did, I also pray that God would remove anything from us that prevents us from reaching those whom we normally wouldn't reach. I pray that he allows us to get out of our comfort zone and speak to people we normally wouldn't speak to. Why? Because as the feet and the hands of the body, we are to preach the gospel to all nations, to Jews, to Greeks, to Gentiles, to liars, to abusers, to all people, without discrimination. Because that's exactly what Christ did to us. He did for us. I'm thankful that just like the father in this story, he saw his son as worthy, as one who needed to be loved. And because of that, Christ, seeing us as worthy, he gave himself for us. He is our Savior, and he is the Savior to those who are lost. He is the good shepherd that is calling us home today. Some of you are baptized and saved into the body, and you may be struggling with those who are lost. You may be struggling with those who don't have the same mindset of you. But understand, they need Christ just as much as we do. And so we should change our mindset towards them. And there may be some who are not baptized and struggling and are figuring, how do I get back home? Well, here's your chance now. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins and return your heart back to God in the right direction and allow him to change you. That is my lesson for this morning. I pray that we are continuous in the work of reaching the lost, healing those who are sick, and having the mind of Christ. If you have any prayer or desire to get baptized, this opportunity now as we stand and sing.